I feel pretty good about this, Nate.
Donovan Barry, I am ready to rock and roll.
We are outside of what is kicking off to be what looks to be a huge Nina party.
We're doing a podcast.
This is the White Show. That's right.
Oops. Yes, what did you say? I don't know.
Their designers have bleached their entire wardrobe. It's nothing but people in white here. We got a lot of flashing, what are these things, glow sticks?
It is the opposite of a graphic design wardrobe. It is not black, it is white. And I was skeptical, Donovan, of the white party, but now I realize. Here's the trick. Ladies look good in white. Men, maybe not.
But
ladies?
That doesn't really matter at a party like this. Holy crap. You know who we have here? We have Armin Vitt. Armin, how are you doing today?
Rocking contrast tonight.
I know. I figured if I wasn't going to wear white, I was at least going to wear black.
And you are looking, not only, it's not the black that's slimming you down, you're looking good. You've done well this year, I take it.
And the only reason I know that I look good is because men tell me I look good, and that's such a hard thing to do for guys.
A lot of men tell me. A lot of man compliments here.
How has this conference been for you?
It's been a little bit different just because I've been more tired than usual, just because we have a 3-month-old baby at home, and things are a little bit different than last year. And that glow you have as a new parent with your first kid, you don't get it in your second kid. So
I will take note.
You're kind of used to it, but you don't have a baby shower for the second kid. You're just, okay, we've done this before. It's a thing. But, yes, definitely, Armin, not only rocking the sexy, but also rocking the information you gave. Your whole thing today was going from junior designer to studio owner. How did that go for you?
It went really well. We talked about all sorts of different things that you do as a junior designer, as a designer, senior designer, and an owner, and how it's all about not being lazy, pretty much.
Yeah, it kind of, just about everything we've talked about the entire conference kind of boils down to not being lazy.
Which is really the opposite of what I've been trying to do in this profession for years, and it's not, I don't like it.
True that. You knew I was going to say, you put the microphone right over here after you said that. You knew I was going to come in.
Okay, thank you, Armin, for stopping by, and we'll catch you up at this white party, even though you're rocking the bad boy black.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about contrast. Great to see you. Yeah, we'll catch up with you in a minute.
So we've been having a great conference. This is actually the last night, which in a way seems like it's way too soon to end, but in the other way it's like I'm exhausted.
I don't know what you're talking about at all. Five days of conference is way too much conference for me.
Hold on. We have here with us, it's Peleg Top, right?
Peleg Top.
Peleg Top.
How are you doing today?
Good. And you've been recording more than we have. Yeah. What is it you've been doing while we're at the HOW conference? What's your role here?
Well, I've been walking around talking to fabulous designers.
Walking around looking good, that's what Peleg does.
Well, of course, that comes first.
He even got a white hat. He's rocking this party.
I've been talking to everybody, asking them to share their experience with the conference and interviewing some of the speakers and getting a lot of really great video clips to share on the website for the HOW conference.
What website is it that people can go to see these video clips you've been doing?
Well, they'll be released in a few months, but it's going to be on the HOW Design website.
I was going to say, and I heard you said some of the speakers. I heard a tale, perhaps a tall one, that you did 28 interviews today.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
28. Okay, because I was in here, like, the other day I was complaining. We're doing 12 shows from the HOW conference. I was like, wow, that sure does seem like a lot of work. And then I heard Peleg doing 28 interviews in a day.
Well.
Ridiculous.
Well, you know. What can I tell you?
You're a hardworking man, that's what you can say.
Well, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Now you've been around, so how does this HOW conference for you, your experience, compare to conferences that you've been to in the past?
Well, the first HOW conference I've been to was in 1993, and there were 300 people.
Wow, that's how, because I was at the CFC and there was probably like 300 people at that.
Yeah, that's what HOW looked like back then.
Wow.
So, of course, that ages me. It's about, you know, quite a long years ago.
You were probably like 14.
I was actually really young. I was like 18.
Yeah,
something like that.
Just a kid.
But
just a little pup.
I've been coming for about, the last 16 years and seeing this thing grow and become just this amazing hub for designers to gather once a year.
And thousands of people now.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me to be all about connection and connectivity and bringing people together.
Yeah, they have amazing speakers and amazing sessions and a lot of really good information, but ultimately the best experience for me over the years has been just meeting people.
Absolutely.
Connecting to others in the design industry.
Well, we look forward to seeing these 28, or that was just in one day. How many are you doing total that are going to be launching over this on this How blog?
I don't know. We'll see. I stopped counting.
Not even a count on this thing. Well, we look forward to seeing them in the next couple months, and we'll talk to you in the party.
Thanks. See you soon. Good job.
Yo, Donovan. Okay, so what did you see today that you enjoyed?
Well, I saw Mig's presentation, which was great.
You know what? Let's talk a little bit about... Because Mig's been on the show a lot. He gave all of our...
Mig Reyes. MigReyes.com.
Yep.
Or you can check out his work, because he works on the Threadless website.
Yep. Now, I'm not just going to sugarcoat it for Mig. I felt like Mig did a killer job. It was engaging. It was fun. It was funny. He got the audience involved several times. He had great content.
He had us all text one of his friends to prank him.
He had us all prank one of his friends. That was great. But here's the thing. And Mig, love you. Here's your constructive criticism. He had things on his worksheet that he did not cover. And he also finished about a half hour early. So there were some people in the back saying, oh, I thought he was going to talk about this, but it didn't get covered. So, something for next year. But honestly, even with that,
Mick
knocked it out of the park.
What he did was he left them wanting more.
Oh, maybe that's a valid strategy.
He knows what's going on.
All right. I also saw Nancy, the visual storytelling lady, whose name I can't remember right now.
I saw part of that.
Nancy Duarte, who talked...
I saw a different one. I'm sorry.
It was visual storytelling, which was how it was named. What up, Mark? And honestly, it was a presentation about making PowerPoint rule.
Now, you say that this lady does PowerPoints, though, for some PowerPoints you may have actually seen before.
Yeah, true that. She walks up and okay, PowerPoint lady, right? And she's like, okay, well... I do PowerPoints for Steve Jobs.
Okay, I've heard of him.
She built an Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore.
That's a huge... I mean, that was a huge movie, just him reading a PowerPoint.
It won an Academy Award and a Nobel Peace Prize for Al Gore. So, what up, dude? What up, Courtney's over here.
Courtney, say hi.
Hello.
It's great to talk to you.
So, specifically... That presentation, I mean, if there's anyone on the planet who is going to be able to tell you that, you know what, maybe doing PowerPoints, if you take the consultant angle instead of just the shop making slides, you can really make a difference in the world.
So it's not necessarily the tool. She's talking about the methods behind using the tool.
Absolutely not. No. She talked about using PowerPoint correctly for maybe about 10 seconds of an hour and 15-minute presentation. In fact, she came right out. She was like, PowerPoint kills presentations because people open it up. And, there's two ways to take a look at that content. You can either file a report, which is what PowerPoint is built to do. You open up the template, fill in a headline, fill in content, and you're basically just filing a report versus what she does, for companies like, Steve Jobs, for Microsoft, for Al Gore, back in the day. It's using it to tell a story. And what she spent, her entire presentation on was, how do you tell a story? What is the structure of that story in a presentation? And how can you use that to, potentially or not, bring people along to your message? And it just slayed. It killed. It was the best thing I've seen the whole time.
That's awesome. Courtney, what is the best thing? We've talked to you a couple days ago. What is the best thing you've seen since then?
I really like the 5 alarm comm sets.
Oh, Von Glitschke's presentation.
Yeah, it was great.
Did you catch that the first time, or did you catch it today?
First time.
When he was actually, he said in his BVDs about 10 minutes before because of the time change, and realized that he gets a call, and they said, you're on in 10 minutes.
Yes, he told us that.
Yeah, he was a little bit, he was a great presentation, but he was a little bit flustered at the beginning, and I understand that.
I would agree, but he did a great job considering that he just woke up about 10 minutes earlier, like you said.
Sometimes it doesn't take sleep to bring it.
Very true.
The weirdest part about this conference compared to like last year is because we've actually missed about half of it recording podcasts that we'll be launching. We've already recorded 6 of them. We've got one more to record tomorrow.
Yeah. We got 2 more, but we have one more interview to record tomorrow. Yeah, with Kevin Carroll.
Right. And so next week we'll bring you 3 of the ladies from How.
Yeah, Jesse, Amy, and Bridget, and they were fantastic. We did so many of these interviews, right? So we got...
Yeah, we had five lined up, and we met a couple people that we threw in an extra two because it was... We had to talk to them.
Because why not? Because they were amazing, and let's get them on the show. But we had the ladies of Howe. Who do we have after that?
They've all kind of just run together.
Can I tell you? It's kind of blurring together, right?
I mean, I can name you all of them, but I don't necessarily know if I can name you the order.
Well, that's okay, because everyone, let's just say that everyone is probably just going to show up every week. And listen, I know that we got Russell Brown from Adobe, and I know that Russell Brown told amazing stories of, you know, ye olden days of Adobe.
And when we're talking olden days, he's like the first designer. When he worked there, their only product was PostScript, and he was employee number 38.
Right. And also did not shy away from the Apple versus Adobe conversation. So, yo, listen up to that show. We, of course, we had the queen of design, Debbie Millman, on the show.
Always fantastic.
We had Shel Perkins, probably the smartest design businessmen that there is.
That was the second one. That was who followed the Howe ladies.
We did Shel second.
In his book, Talent Is Not Enough is actually everything you need to run a design studio except for the talent part, which seems to be the part most designers I know seem to be lacking. Not the talent.
Oh,
the other stuff.
All right. I see where you're going with that. So, yes, we had Shel. We had
David Berman, who talks about doing good and how designers can change the world and such.
And you were telling me that conversation, that resonated with you.
The problem is I went, the immediate session I went to today after we talked to him was about awesome-looking gig posters and creating a style. And now, normally, I have nothing against this. I think it's great, you know, personal styles.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
And I don't want to knock the gig poster scene and it wasn't limited to that. That was the example she was showing. But it's kind of like we went through this deep conversation, which I, you know, is like seeing a serious drama movie.
Yep.
And then we went to what I consider, it'd be like watching Saving Private Ryan and then saying like, hey, anyone feel like Ace Ventura?
Exactly, right? So we talked to David Berman, and we also talked to...
And I love Ace Ventura.
We talked to Diana Valentine about pitching your perfect business. The perfect pitch for your business, let me say.
Which, obviously, we don't have yet still. But we worked on it with her, and we're going to work with her on it again.
Is that everyone that we've talked to so far? Like we said, we're going to talk to Kevin Carroll tomorrow. And we're going to have yet again another... We're going to have sort of like the full conference recap once... Hey there! Once Donovan and I take a nap.
Right, but before we nap, we do have to hit this white party. I've got more glow sticks on. I got glasses that are lit up.
Yes, and I have apparently begun my second profession as glow stick applier to the stars.
Right. People come up with...
Do you have need of a glow stick being applied to your person? Come to Navos. Apparently, I will handle that. I don't know.
That's what we do here. We podcast. We solve problems.
Yes. Solving problems. That's what design is all about.
And today, actually, and the other thing is the thing about the conference, you can get most of the content online, which I think is great.
Yeah, later on, right?
But there's certain things you don't get, and that is like showing up at the Emma party today and meeting Terry from 3M.
Oh my God, Terry from 3M. And you know what? If I say it like that, it won't come across as honest. Let me say that is easily and by far the most interesting and most intelligent person that I have met at this conference.
And you know what? Actually, it's funny. I think he just turned the corner. I think that's Terry right there.
That's Terry right there.
We're going to bring him in here. Hold on one second. Okay, Terry. Terry, what is it that we talked to you about earlier about that you do at 3M?
Oh, well, thanks a lot. It's good to be here. I work on...
Actually, it's funny. We were actually introduced. We were talking about how we ran into you in an interesting project right as you came around the corner.
You got to be kidding me.
No, so we actually already have the intro to you. So that's why we just want to know what you do for our listeners.
No problem. I work on a new product called 3M Visual Attention Service.
And that's 3M.com/VAS.
You got it. And that's a tool that predicts where people are going to look in the first 3 to 5 seconds when they see an image, any kind of image, no matter what it is. As soon as they see that, where are they most likely to look? So your eyeballs get unlimited amount of information, but your brain can only process but so much of that information. So we can predict based upon the understanding of what's going to get through first.
Now, like when I look at a photo, I normally think I have a good idea where people look first. Am I actually wrong? And how does your software tell me I'm wrong, or does it tell me I'm right, or how does it differ from my opinion on this?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. We should probably check it out. So I would love to be able to run an analysis and also have you take a look at it, because you as a designer are trained to be able to look at images that way, to be able to understand where people are going to look and guide them through that. So it's a great communication tool for you to be able to have data to show a heat map or what we call a region map to show where people are most likely to look in kind of it, and the likelihood they're going to look there, and then also why.
Now, does it tell you this when it reports? When I upload an image to this website, does it tell me why people look somewhere, or does it just tell me where they're looking at?
So both. So it's really easy. You simply upload a JPEG to our website. Once you upload that JPEG, you in about 30 seconds, you'll get a download that shows both that heat map, that region map, and then a PDF report that has the Thram name on it and some description of why you get attention in certain places.
And what are the things that it looks for when it's making the heat map? What elements of the image does it look for?
Yeah, great question. Things like faces, text, contrast, black-white contrast, blue-yellow, red-green, things like that.
Blue-yellow, I've heard red-green. What's blue-yellow?
So it's just the contrast between blue and yellow, as well as red-green.
Okay, and what if, now does it do if someone's red-green colorblind, if they're colorblind, does it run those analyses too? Or does it just run the straight if people have regular vision?
So this is based upon regular vision, normal population. And the great thing is, because this is based on the physiology of how your brain processes visual information, it works for everyone. So most market research tools do what need to do market segmentation based upon interest, desire, things of that nature. Because this is straight physiology, it's a universal tool.
So it doesn't tell me why I'm looking at it, or it doesn't tell me what I'm thinking when I'm looking at it. It's just telling me that's what I'm looking at.
That's right. We have no idea if you're going to like what you see. It simply tells you, this is where I'm going to look.
And how long has this service been around?
We launched this service May 12th, so a month.
Oh, it's new.
Brand new.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, everyone, go to 3M.com/VAS, check it out, upload your images.
And thank you very much. We would love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter. We've got a LinkedIn.
What's the Twitter,
3MVAS.
For Visual Attention Service.
That makes sense.
All right.
Thank you very much, Terry. We'll be catching up at the White Party in just a minute.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Okay, Nate. I think that's going to about wrap it up for today's show. But we're recording again tomorrow right outside of the keynote by Kevin Carroll. And then we're headed, I guess, back into Dressing Room 3 for the last time.
Are we doing it after Kevin? I feel like, well, we'll work out our schedule off mic, I think. But yes, there is, if you can believe it, yet goddamn more content coming from 36point.com from the HOW Conference Denver 2010.
And if you haven't been to the site, Nate's been doing the last couple days, you'll do a couple more. Sketchbook 1-point rules, which are great.
Thank you. We got those up today. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
So let us know what you think, 36point.com, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you can believe it or not, we so totally will. So, yes, that is a thing that is happening, and we will see you then. Or maybe you'll hear us then. I don't know if seeing is, sight. It's a radio show. You know where I'm
okay, and
about.
We are off to see how Nina throws a white party, which, from all indications, is looking better and better.
Eight. No party like a Nina Paper Party, because the Nina Paper Party don't stop. And I'm out.
Mig Reyes.
How's it going, Donovan?
Great. You're here. We already miss you. Do you got a student tip for everyone here to kind of bring it back into season 3 a little bit? You got a student tip for anybody? You can think a second.
Yeah, no. And since not all the listeners were able to go to the session that I did today, student tip would be, if you have an idea, do it immediately. Don't let the inspiration die, because once it fizzles out, you won't be motivated to do your cool project that you had in mind. So if you have an idea like Humble Pied, where you're interviewing people, just do it. Otherwise, you won't go anywhere. So people talk about projects, not ideas.
Thank you very much. And we'll catch you at the White Party in 2. Rock on.